Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, here we go. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Here on a Sunday, and thank you for being with us. Wes Moss, your host here every Sunday morning. Ryan Ely along with us. And to take your calls and questions. So good morning, 404-872-0750. Another wild week in markets. And it's capping off what has been a year where we've just seen stocks bounce higher than lower than higher than lower than higher, almost like a bungee cord. So I think today is probably a wonderful day to bring up, I think, one of the most important concepts you can possibly master or just start to think about as an investor. So if you can change, and this is really what today here on Money Matters is really all about, and I believe so strongly that this will help you. And even if you need a reminder of this, if you haven't heard this concept before, it will be so important for you to start to wrap your arms around this. And changing this one perspective that we're going to talk about today. So changing this one perspective may be the most important thing you ever do as an investor. And I'm going to get deep into this concept and explain it to you, so you'll walk away after today really understanding, I think, just a kind of a fundamentally necessary concept for you. It may change your investing life. You may already be doing this, so you may be fine. But there's a lot of folks out there that maybe haven't even heard this or really need a reminder. Sometimes even I need a reminder on the very thing that we're so adamant about here on Money Matters. And something happened this week that did just that. So it kind of just was a little bit of a hey reminder of, hey, this is what we talk about anyway. So if you've ever listened to Money Matters over all these years, and we're going into our 10th year in a month or so from now here on WSB Radio, but if you've ever listened to Money Matters over the years, we talk an awful lot about generating income. I'm not the only person that thinks about income. I would say it's a widely followed concept in investing. There's a lot of different ways to invest, right? Of course, growth is one of those. Dividend is one of the other categories. It's obviously a big part of investing, so you can focus kind of on one end or the other. And of course, there's lots of other investment styles. There's small cap and small cap value, and large, and there's international and emerging markets. There, you could be just a bond investor, emerging market debt. There's a lot of ways to go with investing. Income is one of those tracks. And again, the concept that we focus here on Money Matters, because this is my philosophy and our team's philosophy that we've done for many, many years, well over 20 years. But if you think about income, of course, it's dividends that come from stocks, which is going to be a big part of what we talk about today. So that is, it's dividends. That's the cash flow that you receive from owning publicly traded equities. That, by the way, we started today's show talking about this market bouncing up and down and up and down throughout this past week. And analogous to the year that we've seen, where we're bouncing higher by 10%, then in correction territory two separate times just in 2018. So as we head into 2019, I want to help you wrap your arms around this concept. So dividends that come from stocks, primarily large cap stocks, so big multi-billion dollar companies in the United States or abroad. And then distributions that come from areas like publicly traded real estate. Those are REITs, R-E-I-T-S, REITs. And then distributions that come from pipeline or energy companies. It's another form of getting cash flow. And then, of course, interest from a variety of bonds. You'll hear it called a fixed income, but let's just say bonds. And those are all the different areas we get income. Okay. Well, here's the question that brought me to today's topic. And you may have thought this exact same thing throughout the year or sometime in your investment cycle or career. Wes, I know I'm supposed to own stocks and I'm supposed to own bonds. And I own a mix for safety. I have a mix between the two. Let's call it 50% in bonds. And then I have the remainder in stocks. With bond rates still so low. And bond rates are low, but if I can find stocks that pay more in dividends than bonds pay in interest, a novel concept that doesn't traditionally exist, but in today's low interest rate world, it does. And my stocks have more potential upside than bonds that I might own, then why wouldn't I own all stocks? Why wouldn't I own 100% stocks, or at least more than the 50% that I've been so conservatively doing over all these years? Why wouldn't I own 80 to 100% in stocks? Well, here's my answer to this very important question that you may want to ask yourself. Ask yourself the same question. Think about the pie chart. You open up your 401k or your statement online or a brokerage account. If you go log into your brokerage account at Vanguard, or Schwab, or Fidelity, or wherever it is, and you see the pie chart that says, okay, this is where the family assets are. You've got about 42% in U.S. stocks, you've got 3% in international, and you have the remainder, the 50+% in fixed income and cash that may be not paying a whole lot. And you're asking yourself, well, wait, why don't I own, if the stocks that I own are dividend payers, and they are providing me income. And of course, there's a big delineation between stocks that pay significant dividends and the ones that do not. But let's assume that you have dividend paying stocks. Then why do you have such a small percentage in that? Is it for safety? What is the reasoning behind that? So the answer to my question of should you start to think about owning more dividend paying stocks to increase your income, the answer I would say is that if you're thinking about this, the answer is yes, with a couple of ifs. So here are the caveats on that. The answer I think is yes. You can own more dividend paying stocks, or stocks that are paying you income more than you would potentially get from bonds, certainly more than you would get from sitting in cash. But the answer is yes, if you own stocks where the income payout is safe. That's the key here. If you have dividend paying stocks and they're giving you a cash flow, that's great, but they have to be safe, that it's not going to go away. And that can be accomplished by number one, this is number one of how many different items do I have here? So this is the answer. This is number one, yes, for these two reasonings though. One, you've got to be able to use a diversified mix of those stocks in different industries. So you have to spread out your income risk. So different industries that give you safety and an overall level of dividends that you're receiving, you know that it's going to continue on and not get cut off or go away. Remember that a given industry can get crushed. If it's all in one or two industries, that can get really crushed in an outsized way, like banks did and financial companies did in 2008. They paid great dividends, but the dividends went away for the most part through the financial crisis. You saw companies paying $4.50 a share go all the way down to a penny. So you have to avoid that because stocks, of course, can cut their dividends. So it's not a given that they just keep paying the same amount or more year after year after year, which takes me to B, you've got to own high quality blue chip companies. Well, that people throw around that term all the time, high quality blue chip, a blue chip. Not just blue chip in name. Blue chip isn't just a name that you're familiar with, right? Everybody knew the Blockbuster name. That was a blue chip DVD rental company. It was blue chip name. General Electric, it's a blue chip name. Well, it's not a blue chip company. It's a blue chip name, but doesn't mean it's a good company. Just because everybody's familiar with the name, it didn't mean that the internals or the financial health of that company was high quality. So don't mistake high quality companies just because they're familiar names. There's a huge disconnect very often between those two. High quality companies have some more esoteric things that you don't hear about. They have great free cash flow. Well, that's good. Or something called free cash flow yield, or a high free cash flow yield. They are really good about how they invest their own capital, and they're really smart about their debt load, and they have a very manageable amount of debt. at CIA, or at our Money Matters team, we make the joke that we're looking for companies that would answer this question. Do they make a profit? And it sounds so simple, but ultimately that's all of these metrics, these financial metrics, return on invested capital and loan net debt and free cash flow yield and EBITDA to enterprise value, all these metrics really come down to one thing. Do they make a consistent, significant profit, and can they service their debt if they have debt at all? And have they been growing their dividend at a steady clip? So the answer here to my question, should you own more in dividend paying stock, the answer is yes. Number one, it's yes if those two items are checked. Diversified mix of how the income you're getting, or a diversified mix of income, so not just one industry, and B, the companies you own, and they can be individual companies or in an ETF, are truly blue chip names, high quality, they're internals, not just a name. So if you can say yes and yes to those two, then you're on the road to being able to own more in dividend paying stocks. But there's another item that we've got to get to here. So and that's the next item we're going to talk about here coming up next. So if you can, number two in this equation is if you can focus on the income payout. So if you're looking at that income payout specifically or the cash flow specifically, you have to be able to ignore the price. And that is a very difficult thing to do as an investor. And I want to get to the inner workings of that as we continue here on Money Matters. So stay tuned. Good morning. Wes Moss here, WSB Radio. Stay tuned. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Welcome to Money Matters. Your host, Wes Moss, here talking about probably one of the most important concepts that you can ever master as an investor. And this is this one perspective that we're about to talk about here, maybe the most important thing you ever do, or that you can ever focus on, or maybe change if you don't already think this way as an investor. So if you focus on income payout or cash flow, and you can ignore price, it's so hard to do, it could really change how you invest completely. So if you can focus on the cash flow, and if you own a stock, this is why it makes it so difficult. You've got 365 days in a year, much fewer trading days in a year, but you've got an entire year, 365 days. You only have four of those days where you get a payout. So it's hard to really, it's not as though it's that noticeable. If you're not watching every day, you're going to miss when you get your payouts. So four times a year versus the daily bouncing constantly and readjusting price of the stocks that you own. And a portfolio, the whole portfolio moves up and down. And not just every day, but every minute you look at it, and you only get four times a year that you get paid out from a stock. So we understand this. It's easy to understand. It's logical to want to do this. So I'd love to focus on the income that I'm getting, Wes, but it's really frustrating in order to be able to do so. And it's kind of nerve-wracking with all the other activity happening around the market and the world and the stocks that you do own. So in order to do this, and again, focus on that income payout, you have to train yourself to not care or not look at the minute by minute or day by day price fluctuations that just happen invariably in the market. And instead, you got to log in maybe once a month, probably once a quarter is better, and look at all the income payouts that you've received over that period of time. It's psychologically, it's difficult. Markets are, and nearly all financial firms, all of Wall Street was built around price, price, price. We live in a price world. News stations report on price, price, price. The entire financial system, news, social media, it's all designed on the very thing that provokes the most emotion and the easiest to focus on in this world, and that's price. We live in a price world, not an income world. Nobody reports on it's shares of Google jump, shares of Caterpillar drop. Nobody reports on the 227th dividend payout for a company. So everything has been designed to not allow you to handle this much, quote, risk, which is really a word for volatility or stocks bouncing up and then bouncing down. We're going to talk about how to live with that or retrain yourself to make that work. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com. We're in Atlanta, W-E-S, Wes. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Wes Moss here, Ryan Ealy on a Sunday. And we're just happy to be here, and we're happy to have you with us. So thank you for tuning in. And let's take some phone calls. Phone lines are open. We're talking about I have no better name, by the way, for this concept than bouncing principle. I went to this thesaurus. I look for synonyms because, you see markets. We know we live in a price world, not an income world. And you see the Dow every day up or down. So it just bounces up and bounces down. I don't have oscillating principle. That's a little wonkier. That's the word that really probably volatile principle. All these words come to mind, but really the concept that bounces up and down. Stocks bounce up and they go down. And if you can live, and it's a friendly term, bouncing principle is this concept of understanding that, and again, I'd love to have a better term for this. If you have a better term, let me know. But if you can learn to live with what we call bouncing principle and focus on the income, even though we live in a price world, it will allow you to focus on something that you know will be consistent. Or as long as you do the due diligence and you do the work and you have, remember, blue chip companies, not by name or in name, but with internals that are high quality, and you have a diversified way you're getting that income stream from the stocks that you do own, so that you have multiple industries, and you can focus on income and not the price and not this principle that bounces up and down and up and down, but the steady income, even though it only comes four times a year, then that will allow you to have a higher percentage over time, not 100%. But a higher percentage in stocks where we know that over time, that's where we've had our best hedge of against inflation over time. Not in any given week or month or even year, but over time, we want to understand how to be better investors. In order to do so, we've really got to understand what is important to focus in on. Because remember, as we go through these difficult periods of time, and 2018 is a perfect example of that, two 10%+ corrections, and even more so. We're not even finished with the one that we're currently in, arguably. And we're going to talk about that later in the show today. So we know we go through these really difficult periods of time, and you've got a portfolio that is $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million or $5 million. These percentage moves, a 10% move is a lot of money. You look at, and this is the law of large numbers. You look at your portfolio and you say, wow, this correction has wiped out so much principal that it hurts, right? Particularly when you get to your latter stages of retirement planning, you've saved, you're kind of at your peak savings. You look at that and you say, wow, I've just lost as much money as I made a couple years ago, working the entire year. And that is that emotional piece that makes it so difficult to be an investor. But again, we shift our focus in order to be better at this and have better long-term returns, arguably, right? Provided the world doesn't completely fall apart, but better long-term returns if we have a higher percentage in equities relative to cash or bonds even. But we need to understand or shift our focus from this price, this daily world of price to a concept of income that's much more subtle, but arguably just as important and probably more powerful. And if we can focus in on that, it makes us better investors to begin with. So let's work on that through 2019 as we move forward. There's a lot, there's work to do to get there. You have to understand what you own. You have to feel confident that what you do own is diversified enough that the dividends are not going to go away. And that this steady stream we talk about is in fact a steady stream. But if you can get to that place, it makes this concept of focusing on income so much easier. So good morning or good day, let's say. Welcome to Money Matters. Thank you so much, of course, for being with us. We love being in here on the weekends. And we love taking your phone calls and questions. So phone lines, we're going to we just open up the phone lines. If you're driving around town, maybe you're doing some Christmas shopping. And I know that there's not a whole lot of days left for Christmas shopping. My children remind me how many days left every single day. Every morning they wake up, Dad, there's 17 days till Christmas. There's 14 days till Christmas. Every day I get a countdown for my children. Or, of course, extremely excited. I've got four kids. So all four of them still at that somewhat miracle age of excited, wide-eyed. And, of course, I have a couple little ones that are absolutely fascinated by Santa. I have a two-year-old. I have a who was scared of Santa when we did pictures this year. Warmed up pretty quickly, though. But two-year-old, a six-year-old, a nine-year-old, and an 11-year-old. So all boys. So you can imagine what those four are like. And the oldest, I'm trying to think what these kids really want. You know what are hugely popular are scooters. And if you live in town Atlanta, you'll see just these Bird and Lime scooters littered everywhere. And as fun as they are, they do look kind of like litter. And I can't wait till we can figure out a way to make that a better, that's probably the worst thing about them. But can you imagine if we get better about riding these things around to reduce traffic? That would be a Christmas miracle. If you ask me. So, but we need a better way to store these things. They're not littered everywhere, lying down in the street, all the way to guitars, all the way down to Paw Patrol, which if you're a grandparent or a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that is a hot item for Christmas this year. So again, let's say phone lines open. What is the number here in the studio? It's 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. What would you call about? Well, in any sort of investment question that's been itching you, I've been thinking about this. You've been talking to your spouse about it, your wife, your husband, saying, hey, honey, what should we do here? Well, give us a call here and we'll give you some direction. We'll give you we believe that Money Matters is still the most objective third party financial advice show you will find anywhere in the country. And we pride ourselves on being able to do that here on a Sunday morning. So where should I invest here in this current cycle? Really kind of a tough market in 2019. Not a lot of things working well. Stocks hit, bonds hit, international hit badly. Emerging markets terrible. Emerging market debt not good. Just all of these different areas of the world have been really difficult. So maybe you're just thinking, where do we go from here? Something that's been nagging you. Should you own United States? Should you own international? Should you own individual stocks or ETFs or maybe mutual funds? Is 2019 a Roth conversion year for you? Maybe, maybe not. We can talk that through. Is 2019 an important retirement planning year for you? So is something changing? Maybe this is the last year of work. Are you going to have to make a decision on taking a lump sum payout or a pension? I was looking through kind of the what was most popular in 2018 on our website at westmoss.com, where we publish a lot of our financial articles. The number one financial article, we write about travel. So one of the most popular articles, 10 of the most or the least expensive places to live abroad in retirement, super popular article. Where can you go outside of the United States on less than $1,500 a month and live a wonderful life? That's always a popular article. But on the financial side, so we do money, adventure, success, health, happiness. And on the money side, the number one article this year, lump sum pension, lump sum versus a pension payout. How do you make that decision? So that is a question here in the studio. Give us a call. Or are you going to make a change to your asset allocation? Maybe after listening to today's show, you thought a little bit more about income and a little less about price. How can that work for you next year? Are you generating enough income to begin with from your investments? Call us with your any financial related question, retirement question, investment related, mortgage, borrowing, real estate, investment, taxes. Your calls typically will help others too. If you're thinking about it, you've got probably another 100 people out there listening that have thought about the same question. Rarely does a question come up that somebody else doesn't have some other iteration of it. So your question is a big help to others listening as well. And we are here to help. So phone lines open. Give us a call here. The number 404 872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750 if you're driving, or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, for our folks outside of the state of Georgia, around the country, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll go to the phones here. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Hi, good morning, Wes.
Hey, good morning. I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good. Okay.
Who is this? Because my phone screening software is dead, so I have no idea who I'm talking. I'm just blindly, randomly going to the phones. I have no idea where you're calling from, what your name is. It's just like, good morning. I have no idea who I'm talking about. Who's this?
We can fix that. I am Christy from Woodstock.
Perfect. Christy, what's going on? How can I help?
So listening this morning, talking about, you know, all of the things you've been talking about prompted me to call. My husband and I are about 10 years out from retirement. We're maxing out our 401ks. We're not eligible for Roth IRAs. We're maxing out his health savings account. We have about 9 months worth of expenses in just liquid savings. Our mortgage is paid, you know, so we have no outstanding debt. We have more money to save, but we're just not sure where to put it that's going to benefit us the most.
All right. So a couple of thoughts here. Now, as you go through that list of, it sounds like you've been, a lot of these things are on the right track. So the mortgage being done already, Christy, is humongous. That's a big deal. And that is something, you're so far from retirement. I've seen folks get to the point where, hey, mortgage is paid, but you have such a long runway of working, you end up buying another house. So just be careful before you do that, right? You've got right. 9 months worth of savings. That's great. You're maxing out 401k. You can't do a Roth, at least right now. You can do a conversion, but I can just tell you by, if you're both working, your income is probably so high, you don't want to do that. And something you said too, you have an HSA. Is that because, typically to have an HSA, you have to have a high deductible healthcare plan. Is that, I guess that's the case with you or your husband? Whose plan is it?
It's my husband, and yes, he does. I have a regular HMO.
And he's got a really high deductible plan.
Correct.
Okay. How high is it? What, 8,000, 7,000 a month or 7,000 for the year?
I believe it's 6, but it's right in that neighborhood. Yes. And we don't touch the HSA. We just pay whatever he needs out of pocket.
And you're contributing
a different savings.
But you're contributing as much as you can to the HSA as well.
Yes. So, and he's getting his corporate match as well.
How much do you think you could, here's the question, first of all, and we'll get to kind of where would you put it? But how much above all of these other areas? So maxing out 401k, maxing out HSA, how much do you think you would have in addition to all that? Is it 10 grand a year? Is it 20,000 a year?
Well, I usually think in months.
Yes, so, I do too. I'm with you. 1,000 a month, 2,000 a month?
Probably 2 to 3 a month.
Wow. Okay. All right. So I have an answer for you. We've got to do a quick break. So hang on one sec, Christy from Woodstock, and I'll give you some options or things to think about going into 2019 for your after-tax savings. So hang on a sec. Money Matters will be right back with an answer. Christy from Woodstock, welcome back to Money Matters here. Actually, I've got to get you back on the phone, so hang on here. Let's hit this button. Christy from Woodstock, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Okay, we're back here. And you have I didn't even ask you how old you are, but really, you know what? It doesn't matter because you are 10 years from retirement. I assume, let's say you're in your 50, early 50,
yeah.
In early 50s.
Yeah.
So anybody out there in the same scenario, and this is actually an interesting period of time for you and a lot of folks in that last 5 years or 10 years where kind of usually kids are either out of the house or out of college, you're probably in your highest earning years and you're trying to typically really pad retirement. Some people are just trying to still starting out and you've got 10, 15 years of high earnings, but all you need now is a brokerage account, just a regular after-tax brokerage account. You don't need any more cash. You've got almost a year. You've got plenty of retirement or qualified money that gets taxed, by the way, when it's time to pull it out. You need that more. I think of it as all the different buckets of taxation. When you get into retirement, your after-tax money becomes really sacred because it allows you to help. It helps you control your overall tax bracket in the future. If everything's retirement money, then everything you pull out increases your adjusted gross income. So you want to have a bucket of money that allows you to pull from and keep your AGI as low as you possibly can. You only want to pull out what you really need from retirement accounts because that's what is going to push your tax bracket up. After-tax money does that. So take a look at something like Vanguard, and this is an ETF, Christy, but Vanguard has an ETF that has about 180 stocks in it called the Vanguard Dividend Appreciation Index ETF. It's a mouthful, simple ticker symbol, VIG. Well, if you looked in, so what really matters is what's inside VIG? That's what matters. Well, if you open up the hood, you're gonna find companies like Microsoft and Johnson & Johnson, which has had a tough month, but probably okay in my book. I'm an owner of Johnson & Johnson. Walmart, Pepsi, McDonald's, Medtronic, Abbott, 3M, Union Pacific, Costco, Nike, United Technologies, Lockheed Martin. These are companies that pay pretty significant dividends, right? And the whole point of this is these are companies that are able to, and this is the key as an equity holder or a stock owner or an investor, these are all companies that have the ability to push the dividend or the income higher. And there's so many reasons I like that. A, it's a signal of true health for a company to be able to do that. B, it increases your income over time. And you put this, by the way, in the next, call it 10 years, you want to do dividend reinvest. You don't need the income right now. It's okay to get income as long as you're doing automatic dividend reinvest, 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 reinvest for an ETF like VIG is something that I own. So again, as you know, on Money Matters, I can't jump up and down and say buy this, buy that. I can't recommend it. But I can tell you this is something that I've owned for a long time. And the reasons are there. It's something that is fitting a lot of the things I've been talking about today here on Money Matters. So hopefully that helps, Christy. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful holiday season. And stay tuned to more Money.